We still say that anthem, He is risen, still in the Easter season. Yes. Well, let me recap for you where we've been. On Easter Sunday, Jesus is resurrected. Jesus is nowhere to be found. The grave linens laid there in the tomb, shapeless, not covering anything. Did someone take Jesus? Was it the Romans? Was it the Jewish religious leaders? Surely not. Mary demanded of the gardener to tell her where he put Jesus so she could tend to the body. The gardener then reveals himself to Mary as Jesus and sends her to tell the disciples that he is ascending to the Father. We pick up the story with the disciples meeting together for an unknown reason. They lock the door to make sure no one can just walk in on them. And we do know that this is because they are fearing the Jews, and that they may overhear them or see them and turn them into the authorities. And their fate would essentially be just like Jesus. They would be crucified. So our passage today is John chapter 20, verses 19 to 30. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind the locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time, Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas explained. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." Can you imagine with me Thomas? Thomas, for an unknown reason, was not able to join or be with the other disciples in the locked room the first time. He later receives reports from the disciples that Jesus appeared to them. They were able to see him, and maybe they were able to touch his wounds, to speak with him. Would you for a moment, put yourself in Thomas's sandals and see this passage in John through his eyes? The other disciples seek out and find Thomas and tell him that they have seen the risen Lord. If we wanted to rank the importance of the differing aspects of the Easter season in John's gospel, I would place it in the following order: the crucifixion, the resurrection, and then what happens immediately following the resurrection. In the scene between the disciples and Jesus in the locked room, there are several actions that Jesus does that shape and fashion the post-resurrection Christian. The disciples were in hiding for fear of the Jews, and Jesus came and stood among them. He then said, "Peace be with you." He showed them his scars. The disciples, in response, rejoiced that it was the risen Lord. He said again, "Peace be with you," yielding to the command, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Jesus then breathed on them and breathed life into them. Some of the actions of Jesus here in the first interaction with the disciples does not surprise us. Others do. If we were the disciples and someone just appears out of thin air in a room that was locked to those outside, I'm sure we would probably be afraid. But then Jesus uses those words, "Peace be with you," a phrase that is a greeting and also so much more than a greeting. It is the peace of Christ, the gift of peace to disciples who have locked themselves away for fear of the Jews, is an explicit reminder to the community that they need not face the Jewish community or the Romans anxiously, but can do so with the peace of Jesus, with the peace that surpasses all understanding. After the resurrection, we are gifted with peace. In order so that they may believe or to calm fear, Jesus then shows them his scars. Then the disciples are filled with joy and rejoice. This joy is the fulfillment of John chapter 16, verses 20 through 22, that the disciples' pain will turn to joy when they see him again. So after the resurrection, we are gifted with unspeakable joy. With another announcement of peace, he sends them as the Father sent him. Jesus commissions the faith community to continue the work God sent him to do. After the resurrection, we are gifted to be sent, to continue to share the gospel that is Christ, the risen Lord. Jesus then breathes on the disciples, telling them to receive the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Spirit is presented as that which empowers the community to continue Jesus' work. The word for breathe here in John is the only time in the New Testament that it's written. So we can look back to Genesis. It evokes the description of God's breathing the breath of life into the first human. After the resurrection, we are gifted with the empowering Holy Spirit. And if that isn't enough, we're given another story, another interaction after the resurrection between Jesus and the disciples. But this time, it's more intimate. This time, it includes Thomas. We turn again and look at Thomas and the interaction with Jesus after the resurrection. You see, Thomas missed it. He missed the awesome thing or miracle that happened. I'm sure he's not the only disciple who missed it, but we see that Jesus comes to him and he gets his own opportunity to see and to know that Christ is risen. Have you ever missed something important? Have you ever been the only one to miss the one thing that had the power to change the course of something? Have you missed the field goal kicker? Miss the field goal that would have sent the football game into overtime? Have you ever missed that remarkable miracle of a news story on the morning news, and then everyone else is talking about it, and you're left speechless and in awe because you missed it, and you don't know what they're talking about, and you want to know? Another story to help us relate to Thomas is that found in the Chronicles of Narnia, one of my favorites. Aslan offers himself up as a sacrifice for Edward, who was essentially a traitor and needed to be atoned for. After Aslan is killed on the stone table, Mary and Lucy are simply there, resting on Aslan's lifeless body. When they decide to leave and turn away for the first time, Aslan disappears, only to return in a cloud of bright light. Only the sisters, Mary and Lucy, are there for his return. And they are the only ones he reveals himself, his new self, to in the beginning. And the rest, the brothers, the rest of Narnia, go to war against the evil in Narnia. We all can relate to Thomas all too well, can we not? When we miss those important things, those miracles or other amazing human feats, we are left wishing we had been there. We are left wishing that we had seen, or at least we had heard. Well, our passage should settle us today. Jesus knew Thomas had missed out on something great. What Thomas didn't know is that he was going to get the opportunity of a lifetime. Jesus comes, and yet again, to a locked door scenario with the disciples, and this time Thomas is with them. This encounter is more intimate than the last, simply because Thomas needs to touch the scars of Jesus. Thomas still does not believe. He tells the disciples who told him that they saw Jesus, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger in the mark on his side, I will not believe." He then gets the opportunity. The encounters between the first disciples to see and hear Jesus and then the group with Thomas are remarkably similar. However, what I want to highlight is the difference here is that instead of showing them his scars in the first time he showed himself and to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Do not doubt, but believe." So instead of simply showing the disciples, or simply showing Thomas, he invites Thomas to come and touch. "Thomas, put your finger in the holes in my hand. Reach out in faith and put your finger into my side." You see, this passage gets a lot of attention as being about doubting Thomas. But it's so much more about the risen Christ. I heard an amazing quote from a television series one night when I was watching it. It goes like this. I believe I shared it with the teens too one Wednesday night. "Scars show where you have been. They do not determine the direction you are going." Jesus' scars show us where he has been. but they do not determine where he is going. In fact, they show us his victory over sin and death. I believe this passage challenges us to look at our own scars, our hurt, our brokenness, our pain, our sin, and allow the scars of Jesus to cover them. Allow Jesus to heal them. Jesus breathing the Holy Spirit, breathing life on his disciples, is the first of this passage. Let's describe them as a new creation, their new life. We're challenged to embrace, to embody, to enact this after story of the resurrection. These interactions between the disciples are also for us. It is us. Jesus announces peace to us. But I also think sometimes we are like Thomas. We need to reach out. We need to physically touch the scars of Jesus to believe. But Jesus says to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen, but have been able to touch my scars and have come to believe." We can't touch the scars of Jesus today, but we can allow Jesus' scars to touch and to heal us and to heal ours. When we allow Jesus to heal us, to cleanse us, he is then able to breathe the breath of life, the Holy Spirit, into us. Do you have scars that linger? Scars that remain? Physical scars, they do remain. Just a remnant of what was there. Spiritual scars are only healed through the scars and blood of Jesus. We have a call to surrender and allow Jesus to do his healing, changing, transforming work in us. Allow him to heal you today. Open up and allow him to love you today. Gracious, loving God, we give you thanks and praise for this second Sunday of the Easter season. As we reflect and we think through what happened after the resurrection, Lord God, may you reveal yourself to us in new ways. Help us to understand that your scars, they show us where you've been. They don't determine where you're going. They heal our scars, our wounds. Help us to reflect that on that today. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Shauna's going to come, and we're going to sing through, I believe, the song that we sang before we came up, before I came up. If you would take this time to reflect on that time that happened directly after the resurrection, to think of your own scars, and then think of Thomas's story and his interaction with Jesus. Thomas reaches out and he touches Jesus's holes. He touches his side. Those are the scars that heal our scars, that heal our wounds, that heal our brokenness. Thanks be to God.